Okay, can I have a couple people help me with the communion? Oops. I'm sorry, that was Hillary Clinton Trump was running against. It's the same monster, but... Paul tells us in the Bible that the only reason that Christians are sick and die early among you is because they don't discern the body of Christ. Now, the way we discern the body of Christ is to see Jesus in this bread. God gave us particular directions on how to make this bread. It's called matzah bread. This bread is made without yeast. That means it's without sin. Jesus' body was without sin. Yeast is significant as sin in the Bible. Also, this bread has been beaten flat. Jesus was beaten and bruised for us. And there's stripes in this bread. And it's by his stripes that we were healed. This bread is pierced. And Jesus, not only when he was on the cross did a Roman soldier thrust a spear into his side, but he was pierced in a lot of places, in his head, in his hands, in his feet, and everywhere that Jesus' body was pierced and he shed his blood, we got redemption in some area for us. We just had to receive it. Also, this bread is slightly burned. It means when Jesus was on that cross, the full wrath of God's fiery judgment, the judgment that was meant for us, was laid on him. Now, because of that, we can stand in God's presence as though nothing ever happened. And his body was broken for us. We're taking this for our healing and our well-being, asking that the life of Jesus be in us. Jesus shed his blood all over the place. It was not by accident. He did it on purpose. And everywhere he shed his blood, we got redemption in some area. We're saved by the blood of Jesus. And the blood of Jesus protects us. And the blood of Jesus seals in the New Testament promises for us. And because of his shed blood, we've been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, so we can go boldly into the presence of God and receive mercy from him. We thank you for this. The revelation of the Holy Communion is spreading through the world like wildfire. And it's getting into all kinds of different places. I was talking to a nice Church of Christ guy the other day from out of town. But I was visiting with him, and he's a really neat guy, and we had a lot in common. And he got to talking to me about the communion. And I said, you really need to, because he was really getting into this. And I said, you really need to just Google Joseph Prince. He said, I got that book. $3 book, a little $3 booklet you can get from Joseph Prince about the Holy Communion. And it's getting everywhere. Amen. Now people are walking in a whole new level of freedom that they didn't know even existed. Open up your Bibles to Acts chapter 10. Did I forget you? Okay, you can go to children's church. Oh, boy. Acts chapter 10, verse 38, and I'll pray for us. Father, we thank you for the Holy Spirit, who is always here to teach us and guide us and show us how to rightfully divide your word so that we can learn what we need to learn and learn it in the right manner. And Father, we thank you for the spirit of wisdom and revelation that you have given unto us. So now that makes us able to open your Bible and read your word, take your seed into our hearts, get revelation of it, and stand fast in the liberty that Christ has put us in. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Acts chapter 10, verse 38 says how God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, and he went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. I want you to get this square. He said how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth, not Jesus of heaven. If he just said Jesus of heaven, then we could say, well, that was God doing that. He said Jesus of Nazareth. That means a man on this earth got the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And he went about healing all that were oppressed of the devil, doing good. You know, in John 14, verse 12, he tells us that because we believe on him, we can go do the same things. If we use his name. Matthew chapter 3, verse 16. Let's look at that one. Matthew chapter 3, verse 16. The Holy Spirit, I want you to know, literally rests on you. He literally comes upon you when you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now this is Jesus. This is the account of Jesus when he got the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. So there's a couple things there. You see the definite division between water baptism and spirit baptism. He got water baptized. When he came up out of the water, then the Holy Spirit came upon him. Amen. And God said, this is my Son, who am I, am well pleased. Now we know that it's impossible to please God without faith. So we know that Jesus lived by faith up until that point. He was a righteous man. He was in right standing with God. Now what happens when you get born again? 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21 says that you get made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You get literally get put into right standing with him. You're in right. That's what righteousness means. You're in right standing with God. So automatically, the minute you get born again, you get put into right standing with God. And he's pleased with you. And then you can go get baptized. You can go get water baptized. Or you can go get the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Or you can go get the baptism of the Holy Spirit and then you can go get water baptized. Or you can get them both done at the same time. Whichever way you believe. Amen. A friend of mine, he was believing for everything he could get from God. So he went to get water baptized and he went under the water and he come up speaking in tongues. He got the whole thing. I've known of several Baptists that have had that happen to them too. They went up in their attic, started speaking in tongues. They thought, this is taboo. Stop this. Well, no, they needed to keep going. They just received everything they could get from God. Amen? They got a hold of it. And then the doctrines of men, they let the doctrines of men rob them of some of the blessings of God. You don't need to do that. You got the Bible. And you don't need a man to tell you what the Bible says. You can read what the Bible says, and it says what it says. God says what he means, and he means what he says. You can receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Amen? The water has been so muddied in this area and so mixed up where people finally just said they don't want anything to do with none of this spirit baptism stuff. Because people were doing some really crazy stuff, trying to show the world that they got something. When in actuality, they were missing the whole point. The whole point of the Holy Spirit baptism was the endowment of power so you could go out into the mission field the same way Jesus did and go about doing the works that he has you to do. Amen. You know, there is a possibility of a person can be filled with and have an anointing, a various degree of the anointing and measure of the Spirit and not do the works of Christ. How can that happen? The best illustration I can give you is if you take a big bowl and put a cup in that bowl and you take a pitcher and you start pouring water in that cup, it's got a certain measure in it. Until it overflows and it's covered, then it's baptized. Yes, when you get born again, you do get the Holy Spirit. I know that. You can't believe how many times people have said when I've talked to them about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and they said, but I've got the Holy Spirit. I said, I know you have the Holy Spirit. You're born again. But you need the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You need to let him come upon you, come up over you, and cover you over, and get baptized in the Holy Spirit. Amen. I mean, you get that anointing rubbed on you, poured over you. The anointing was really a religious word to me for a long time. And I had a really hard time getting a hold of this word because people, I listen to people, you know, and they'd say, this guy, he's got a special anointing, man. He's way out there. And this guy, he's got this anointing. And I thought, man, I don't know. How do I get that anointing or this one or that one? Do I choose one or what? And then I got ringworm. And I went to the doctor and the doctor charged me $50 to tell me to go down to the store and get a $5 tube of cream that I rub on this ringworm. So I was reading the directions on there and it says anoint the affected area. So I was sitting there rubbing this stuff on me, and I'm thinking, this is a pretty religious word for a ringworm. That's when I found out anoint means to be poured over, rubbed in, covered up, smeared over. You're covered up with the Holy Spirit. That's what that means. The Holy Spirit comes upon you. Now, the Holy Spirit, when Jesus got baptized, the Holy Spirit came down. But when you get born again, the Holy Spirit moves in. And then when you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, just like that cup, he comes up on you. Comes upon you. Amen? And then you are endued with power to go about doing these things. Look at John chapter 7, verse 37. In the last days, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spoke he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not given yet, because that Jesus was not yet glorified." Jesus had to go to heaven first. He had to go to heaven so he could send Holy Spirit here. Had to happen that way. So, in that upper room, when all the disciples were up there, in agreement, they were all with one accord. It must have been quite the church congregation. Every single one of them were on the same page. You want to know what would happen if the church got on the same page? We'd have a massive revival. We'd quit fighting over, well, we sprinkle, well, we pour, and we dunk, and we meet at 11. We meet at 10. Well, we meet on Saturday night. Did you ever wonder why we meet at 10 o'clock in the morning? You ever wondered about that? We've been here forever. I thought you would know that forever. I thought you would know that for sure. So we can beat the Baptists to the buffet. No. These guys were in one accord. They're in agreement. And the gifts that Jesus gave the church, the fivefold ministry, they got involved in this thing. After the baptism of the Holy Spirit, what happened? There was added to the church daily. Somebody was getting born again daily. There was miracles happening daily. They were breaking bread all the time from house to house. They were having meetings in each other's houses. Not only were they going to church, they were meeting in each other's houses. They all had one thing on their mind. They all agreed on that one thing. No wonder he said, "If any two of you shall agree." The prayer of agreement. When people come into agreement, they're not tugging against each other. They're equally yoked. They're going in the same direction. Well, the devil, he was sitting out there by the trash can when Peter come out of that upper room and preached his first sermon, and 3,000 people got born again. He said, "Man, when these guys come into agreement, look what happens. They're worse than the gremlins. They just mass produce." So he got them to bickering back and forth. Until now we have something like 7,500 different denominations around the world. The church is so split up. And now it's to the point now where all you need is just a resentment and a coffee pot to start another church. And they argue about this, and they argue about that. They say, "Well, we don't like the way they sing. We don't." There's this one verse. I know people that don't go to church because of one verse that they don't like. It's, come on, man, get a hold of it. Come into agreement with the body of Christ and watch what happens. Amen? That's why we honor the full fivefold ministry in this church. And the full fivefold has been in this church at some point in time. We've had prophets, apostles, pastors, teachers, and evangelists, all of them in this church. Amen? We invite them every once in a while. Come down and talk to us. And it's a good time. But I better stop chasing that rabbit. I got him wore out. Let's get back up here. Verse 38 says, "He that believeth on me, as the scripture said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." You know, there are basically four conditions to receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Number one is to have a thirst, a consuming passion and craving for union with God. You know, when you start getting into the Word, when you start reading the Bible, and you start praying and you start learning of Him, you start finding out more about Him, pretty soon you want to know some more. You know, when you start learning the truth of who Jesus is and how this thing works, pretty soon you want to learn some more about Him. You know, and then you want to learn a little more. And He shows you some more. And then you want to learn some more. You know, you can't get too full. It's like you just, there's always a hunger there. There's always a hunger there. Did you know that even before you got born again, you had a hunger for God? Even before you got born again, you had a hunger for the supernatural. Every single person, whether they're born again or not, their spirit has been in contact with the miracle-working God. Even before they got born again. That's why people crave the supernatural. Now, if they're not born again, this is where it gets dangerous. If they're not born again, the only thing they have to be led with is their five natural senses. So they're looking to see something or hear something or touch or taste or smell something. They want to see something happening. Now, the devil can do miracles. Did you know that? The Bible tells us to watch out for lying signs and wonders. Now, if the person involved comes in contact with the church crew that's sitting on the benches and not getting active in the kingdom, getting out there in the mission field and doing something, they're going to sit there and look at them and say, "Well, that's kind of ho-hum." But the devil will come by and throw a miracle by them, show some lying sign of wonder, and they say, "Wow, I seen that." And they'll gravitate that way. Now you see why it's so important for the church, the body of Christ, to be out there in the community, doing something. I'm not talking about yard sales and cakewalks. I'm talking about getting out there and praying for people, seeking people out to talk to and minister to feed them, to help them, to pray for them, witness to them. Amen. I mean, why is it hard for the Christians to get out there, but every cult in the world can get their people out there? Amen? Something to think about. Do we believe? The Christians that are baptized in the Holy Spirit should be the ones out there on the front lines. Amen? Getting it done. Yeah. And it's really fun once you get involved with it. But look at Psalms chapter 42, verse 2. I'll talk a little bit of that thirst. Psalms 42, verse 2 says, "My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God?" He was literally, he wanted more of God. He wanted to be closer to God. He wanted more of Him. You know, it's kind of cool when Jesus does something really good for somebody and they repent. They say, wow, did you know it's the goodness of God that causes men to repent, leads men to repentance? Not the law, not any traditions. It's the goodness of God that leads men to repentance. And then when they see Jesus do something really good, they say, that's cool. I like that. One of the most frustrating things I ever had anybody say to me was that you should preach the gospel every day. And if you have to, use words. And I thought, I didn't know nothing of that. This guy's crazy. And I didn't know what he meant for a long time. Well, I hadn't witnessed anybody. I was just trying to figure out Jesus, you know. And anyway, several years after that had passed, and I ended up in Texas, and my pastor called me and he said, do you know so-and-so? And I said, I don't know. I heard that name. He said, well, it's a man and wife. They came to church and they said, we knew Skeet before Jesus, and we knew Skeet after Jesus. Whatever it is you did to him, you do that to us. I don't ever remember talking to him. I vaguely remember their name, that there's people watching you. There's people watching you. They want to see somebody do something. Amen? They want to see somebody stand up and be the man of God that they're supposed to be. Not everybody's going to like that. When you truly stand up for the right thing, for the right reason, you're going to make a whole bunch of people mad. A whole bunch of people. If you don't know by now, there's socialists amongst us. There's Satanists amongst us. And they don't like God. Amen? Then Jesus said, turn over to Matthew chapter 11. Jesus said to come unto me. This is probably one of the most, chapter 11, verse 28. It says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Literally, we're to learn of Jesus. The more you learn of Jesus, the more free from the law you're going to be. The law is burdensome. I don't know how many people I've talked to over the years that were just fed up with church. They'd had it. They weren't going back. They didn't want nothing to do with it no more. And I'd ask them, I'd say, why? They said, I can't do it. I can't live like that. I said, what do you mean? So, I can't do all the things that the pastor says that I have to do all the time. So, and besides that, neither can he. And I'd say, well, you're right. Then they look at me like, what are you talking about? Well, you're not supposed to. You're supposed to believe on him. You're supposed to learn on him. You're supposed to take his yoke on you. You're not supposed to be under the law. You're supposed to be under grace. Amen. You know, the law was burdensome enough as it was. When Jesus was talking to these people, these were some people that were living under the law. And it was bad enough as it was, but the Pharisees added a whole bunch of things on there just to make it a little bit tougher. Amen. Any little tiny little thing they did wrong, they were in trouble. Jesus redeemed you from that. Amen. Galatians chapter 3 verse 13 tells us that we've been redeemed from the curse of the law. Jesus being made a curse for us because he hung on the tree. And then it goes down to verse 29, tells us that if you be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. That's cool. What did Abraham have? Everything. Melchizedek said, blessed are you, Abraham, possessor of heaven and earth. Here's good news. Now, if God gave you this blessing of heaven and earth, he's going to cause you to be healthy. He's going to cause you to be strong. What's our part in this? Believe on him and receive from Jesus. Amen? Now, there's people that will swear to you that your obedience, your willingness, your efforts are all going to play a part on this. Is there anything you can possibly do that would be worth more than the blood of Jesus? No, then you believe on Jesus. Amen. Now, there's a couple different kinds of righteousness. Abraham was righteous by faith, but did you know that Lot was a righteous soul too? Lot was righteous too. Because God went into Sodom and Gomorrah and he said, basically, the five righteous souls got out. Lot got out. Lot. Two. One, Lot was a righteous soul who got into trouble and barely got out by the skin on his teeth. Just barely made it. His wife didn't make it. See, this is why it's important for wives to listen to their husbands. Excuse me. But Abraham was a righteous man that didn't get into that kind of trouble. He did get into trouble, but not like that. You're righteous because you're born again. Amen. Now you can go live like a rat and you're going to have all kinds of troubles. You're still going to be born again, but you're going to have all kinds of troubles. Your health is probably going to take a skydive. Your finances are probably going to be in a terrible wreck. Your life is probably going to be in a terrible wreck. Or you can be a righteous man that picks this thing up and learns of Jesus. Somebody told me an interesting thing. Said, you know, a man with the Bible that has fallen apart usually has a life that isn't. Also, somebody told me, said, it's okay to color in your Bible. You can write in it, underline it, circle things, highlight it, do whatever you got to do. But get it. Make a milestone on that and go back there every once in a while and read the stuff that's highlighted. You're learning of Jesus. You're taking his yoke upon you. The more you learn of Jesus, the more of him that's going to come into you. Now, here's the thing. People want to find, pick a blessing and learn about that blessing. But if you'll just put that down and learn of Him, that blessing is going to be there because it's in Him. And then pretty soon, His blessings are just going to run over the top of you. And you don't even have to look for them. You just behold Jesus and His glory. His blessings are going to be there. Amen? All of it. All of it. Look at 1 John 1:7. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. We walk in the light as He is in the light. When you get born again, the minute you get born again, that's your first light bulb. You just got some light. And now you go back and you into that Bible and you find something else in there. You find out maybe by His stripes you were healed. That's another light. Every time you learn something about Jesus or who you are in Him, who He is in you, one of His promises, that's another light. That's another light. Now this is troublesome for the undercover Christians, but you are a light that is supposed to be out there for everybody to see. A lot of people say, well, man, I ain't going to talk to nobody. I don't even want people to know I'm a Christian. That's nonsense. They want to know you're a Christian. They want to see why you're doing things differently. All of a sudden, you're not the same as you were. Why are you so happy? Why are you so happy? I had a guy ask me that one time. He said, I'd seen him. He's watching me. I watched him for a couple of weeks. He'd stay out there a long ways away from me, but I could see he was watching me, and he was mad. Finally, one day, he come over to my barn, and he said, I know the only way you can be that happy is because you're on heroin. So now I'm clean, man. He got born again. He got water baptized. Let your light shine before men so they can see that there's a hope in this world. There's some people that think this whole thing is hopeless. There's no possibility for anything good to happen. The devil has them convinced that this world is done. The devil has Christians convinced that it's over. If they look at the Bible and understand this, that every time there's something wrong, it's because there's something right. And God has already set His plans in motion. And it is going to be His way. Now, the devil has never been able to create anything. All he can do is counterfeit. So he's been trying to counterfeit something that God has already said is going to happen. That's where the New World Order come from. The one world government, the one world church, one world currency. Amen? There is going to be a one world government. Did you know that? Amen. The government is going to rest on His shoulders. There is going to be a one world church. He's going to bring us all together in the unity of the faith. Not our doctrine. The unity of the faith. And we're going to stand there and say, wow, I didn't know that. There's another thing I didn't know. All of us. All of us. Amen. We're going to learn of Jesus. Then He said, believe on Me. He that believeth on me. The more you learn of Jesus, the more you're going to be able to believe on Him. And then the more you believe on Him, the more you're going to learn of Him. And the more you believe on Him, the more, and you learn more of Him, the more you learn of Him, the more that Word is going to come into you. And the more that Word comes into you and takes root in your heart, takes seed in your heart, pretty soon something's going to happen. You're going to speak forth what you believe, and you're going to start receiving from Him. The more you believe on Him, the more confidence that you're going to have in Him. When you know the truth will make you free, and you'll receive even more. You'll be receiving the fullness of God. You'll keep receiving. You'll finally decide, man, I've got to have the baptism of the Holy Spirit, if you haven't already received that. And if you have received that, the more that you crave, the more that you're going to get. And then pretty soon you're going to say, you know what? I just got to have it all. I just got to have it all. Well, that's being kind of greedy, ain't it? No, God has freely given you all things with Christ Jesus. He wants you to have the fullness of Him. Amen? Why? So we can go giggle and be rich and be fat and be happy and... No, He wants you to have all that you want and need, but He wants you to be like that tree that's planted by the rivers of living water that just keeps growing and growing and growing, producing fruit. Pretty soon it's hanging over the neighbor's fence. They get to eat some too. He wants you to have more than enough so that you can go out there into the community and share it. Amen. Not just money. He wants you to have an abundance of health in you so that you can get out there and be amongst people so that you can pray for them. Amen. He wants you to have an abundance of the Word in you so that you can work in a gift of knowledge or word of wisdom. So somebody you don't even know comes up to you and God tells you, tell them this. So you tell them that. They say, thank you. They look at you like they get that deer in the headlights look. What are you, psychic or what? No, just give it to them. Give them a word of knowledge and peace and go on. Amen. That's a little introduction to the baptism of the Holy Spirit, what it's about. Did you notice it wasn't about swinging from the fans, rolling around on the floor, being goofy? It's about the enduring of power so that you can go out there and love a lost world. Amen. Thank you, Father, for your word. We praise you in the name of Jesus for everything that you've done for us. We thank you for everything that Jesus has done for us on his cross and his death, burial, and resurrection. We thank you for everything that Jesus is doing for us right now as our high priest at the right hand of God, making intercession for us, making our prayers perfect. We thank you, Father, for everything that Jesus will do for us when he completes our salvation. We thank you for your word. We thank you that every time we take your word in our heart, it has the potential to grow a crop in your kingdom, some hundredfold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold return on your word. We praise you for these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we have coffee and banana pudding back here and fellowship. And everybody's welcome to come back and partake of some.